If ever there was an African title of the People's Investor, Fred Robertson, fighting out of Cape Town, would surely be a contender, for he has rolled with the punches for nearly 30 years in the investing game, through recession, high water, and COVID-19. High water that has seen many heavyweights hit the canvas. The investor with whom Nelson Mandela trusted his hard-won savings. The view from Fred Robertson's deck outside his beachside home in Cape Town is as blue and beautiful and far as the eye can see. An ocean that is the source of many of Robertson's millions. If you look the other way, to the sound of wheeling, squealing seagulls, you will see one of the most expensive pieces of real estate in Africa, the fruit of a quarter of a century of shrewd investment by Robertson and his listed company Brimstone. An investment outfit founded with a bundle of notes and a cheque signed in a petrol station on the back of a clapped-out brown Audi that now has a market capitalization of 1.7 billion rand. That's about $120 million. And assets of more than twice that in everything from insurance to fishing. From his window, overlooking the well-heeled seafront, suburbs of Bantry Bay and Seapoint can see a new generation of entrepreneurs on the rise. Robertson is as charismatic, avuncular, millionaire with a robust sense of humour who always wants people to do well. Every day I see young people coming through, all excited. I see in this area, Seapoint and Bantry Bay, young people clubbing money together and putting up micro apartments, he says. But they're always using leverage and they must be careful. You've got to watch the cash. You've got to watch the cash flow. Profit is not the be-all and end-all. It is the cash flow that is important. They come and ask me, what should they be doing? I say to them, watch the cash flow and follow the money. I think they have to be bold. They should work together with people that they like, people with integrity, and get it moving. Don't worry about size in the beginning. It doesn't matter how small it is. You can grow it into a massive business. Yet, this is not a time for growing business in the face of COVID-19 that has forced Brimstone to retreat. It's something I never thought I would see in my lifetime. As insurance companies, we always do a risk analysis, and we talked about a 50-year event, 75-year, 100-year, or 200-year event, even a 1,000-year event. I always thought to myself, why do we do this? But then we get smacked by this in the face. He says, it's been sad. We were always looking at the numbers of people dying, but now the numbers have become names, and it is coming closer and closer, and it's terrifying. What can we do? We drove down Camps Bay, Seapoint. You know, it's usually buzzing with people and local tourists, international tourists, and it's just dead. The restaurants are closing. How do you think about this restaurant here? He put his bond and his house to invest in this restaurant. Just think about the setback and that single owner of a business that set back a whole family. Robertson is unhappy about the way the banks handle the pandemic and wants an inquiry into it. I must tell you, I don't think the banks behaved very well last year. They closed down a lot of people. They were bolstering up their own balance sheets. Recently, I see the banks have been upgraded by Fitch, where last year they were downgraded. What does it mean? How come banks have been upgraded? It can only mean they're closing down on people who owe them money. They weren't giving the economy enough oxygen to keep on going. So we need more banks. When there are more banks, there will be a more competitive environment. Brimstone has had to trim its assets, cut back, and has used the cash to pay off more than R1 billion in debt. Accountant and CEO Mushtaq Bray, who launched Brimstone more than a quarter of a century ago with Robertson and fellow bean counter Laurie Brosin, joked at the results presentation in March that Brimstone had gone to the gym and emerged fitter. It meant Brimstone said goodbye after 20 years to the 100-year-old House of Monatic that it held dear. The makers of ties and Carducci suits has been hammered by cheap Chinese imports and changing tastes. No one wears ties anymore, says Robertson, as we share a laugh. Not even priests on a Sunday. Another withdrawal came as close to the heart and likely more painful for Robertson. Lion Insurance was a brave new venture. an empowered company to take on a lucrative, competitive industry in South Africa. Robertson entrusted people he had known for decades with the business. Sadly, for Brimstone, many of these same people made up insurance claims and pocketed the money. It ended up with Robertson angry and betrayed and a police investigation. I interviewed him at the time and I can tell he was none too pleased, I can tell you. It was not just a fraud case, it was also the wrong market segment and the power stations weren't doing any repairs or maintenance, power stations blowing up, trains derailing and all those kinds of things. It was just the wrong market segment for them to be in. The municipalities are not fixing the roads and potholes showing up everywhere. And there again, no repairs and maintenance. So people would have motor claims and come back knocking at Lion's door, he says. So it's best just to take your bloody nose and get out of the way. Business is like that sometimes. You've got to know when to go in and when to get out. We've had some pretty good successes and we've been a few failures and we've looked at what we can learn from that. So that is it. It isn't about how many times you fall. It's about how many times you pick yourself up after falling down. Luckily for Brimstone, it had a solid investment in fishing companies Sea Harvest and Oceana. We've been fortunate that our cornerstone investments, Sea Harvest and Oceana Fishing, have been operating through COVID. They closed for the Christmas holiday period, but throughout that, they were working full time. Both those companies have very good years. A lot of extra expenses due to COVID with the sanitation, the screening of people, the extra nurses we had to employ on site and those kinds of things. It's happened. And we had to bear those costs. But I think our executive team has been quite clear in switching the market products. There were more and more people going to buy food at the supermarkets. So our fish that went in via the supermarkets and our fresh fish got cut back because the restaurants were closed. We were fortunate because we were able to send fish to Europe, says Robertson. Another crisis survived on a very long journey that stretches back to more optimistic days for South Africa in the early 1990s. Robertson, Bray and Brosin, the three wise men, saw political freedom ushered in with free elections on the 27th of April 1994 and wanted to bring their people economic freedom on top. They wanted teachers, mechanics, factory workers and council employees to become investors. The only problem was they didn't have any capital. They decided to go to the very same people to gather up bundles of notes and cheques to make up that capital. One of their first stops was to see an old friend at the Aden service station in Athlone in the Cape Flats. A film scriptwriter could not have come up with what transpired. The man who owned the station was Mackie Isaacs, who was in the thick of pumping petrol on a busy, sweaty afternoon when Bray and Robertson called in their beat-up brown Audi. For Isaacs, the petrol station was his life. His father, a vegetable hawker, saved for years to buy the land. The two asked for 12,000 rand. Isaacs was in the thick of pumping petrol and didn't have much time. He wiped his hands on his clothes. He put his checkbook onto the boot of the Audi and wrote a check for 15,000 rand. It's about just over $1,000 on the back of the Audi. I thought they were collecting for a mosque or a charity, recalled Isaacs more than 20 years later. The two asked for an investment of only 12,000 rand. The check was written for 15,000 rand. He wrote the cheque in a hurry because he wanted to serve petrol and we told him it was too much and he said, keep the rest because you guys are going to need it. I don't know how this company's going to go, so you just keep the rest for petrol money, laughs Robertson. Isaacs became investor number 7 in Brimstone and that money had increased in value 34-fold by 2017. To this day, Isaacs buys Brimstone shares every year. Brimstone listed on the stock exchange in 1997 in the first flush of success and what Robertson calls days of whiskey and cigars. On the day of the listing, the company set up a live TV link up with the bourse and the teachers, mechanics and petrol station owners turned investors back in Cape Town. On the first day, as often happens with a listing, the share price dipped. People I'd known for years were coming up to me that day and saying, hey, Fred, what are you doing with our money? So Robertson laughs. Yet this show of bringing investment to the people had caught the attention of a man who once coined a quote that could have been made for Brimstone. The greatest glory in living is not in falling, but in rising every time we fall. This quote came from the man who was running the country in 1997, who knew all about fighting adversity. One morning, President Nelson Mandela picked up the telephone and Dowd Robertson. I had a personal relationship with Mandela, says Robertson. I suppose many say this about him, but when he came out of prison a few weeks after that, before he went to hotels, he actually slept in my place. We always kept in touch, and when I started Brimstone, he phoned us and said, "Fred, you've got to come and see me. There's something happening about an investment company, I hear," says Robertson. And off we went, and he said he wanted to be in this company, and I told him everybody has to pay for their shares. So he said he wants to pay for his own shares. He asked how much he could buy, then took out his checkbook and wrote us a check for 150,000 rand as an investment. So he's one of our original investors. Investment is rarely smooth for Brimstone, and by 1998, the company, the share price was rock bottom, and everyone's money, including that of the head of state, was in peril. The share price dropped from 6 rand to 18 cents, not enough even to buy a stick of chewing gum. The financial crisis of the year before had hit Brimstone hard, and in Robertson's own word, the vultures were circling. An offer of 150 million rand, about $8.6 million, was put forward to buy the three wise men out. Robertson told me years later we'd taken the money off the people in the Cape Flat. We would have had to flee Cape Town if we actually did something like that. The three persisted, and in 2003 doubled their stake in Sea Harvest, and that was to prove their salvation in the eye of COVID-19 nearly 20 years later. Yet this was merely respite rather than deliverance. In 2008 came the world financial crisis. By the end of a turbulent year, Brimstone earnings had dropped from 69.9 million in 2007 to a loss of $7.1 million. Luckily for Brimstone, a deal struck in 2005 with Life Healthcare matured in 2010, allowing the company to reward its hard-pressed shareholders with dividends. In many ways, Robertson has come a lot further than his company. Born into apartheid, where his prospects were negligible due to the colour of his skin, he grew up hustling on the streets of Cape Town, selling newspapers around the city centre, home of District 6. If Robertson's present blue and beautiful, you could say his past was a contrast set up as a brutal and ugly regime. In the 1970s, armed police arrived in trucks to tear up the lives of thousands of families, including the family Robertson. The authorities deemed that so-called coloured or mixed-race people were living too close to so-called white areas and shipped 60,000 of them out on the back of trucks and scattered them among the mean dwellings of Cape Flats, far from the bright lights of Cape Town. There was no rhyme nor reason to it. Whichever way you look at it, people were dumped and forgotten. Sorry. It took me years to find all of my family, recalls Robertson, sadly. Like many of his fellows, he became a teacher, selling insurance mainly to other teachers in far-flung places in the northern province of South Africa. It was hard. I used to drive to places like Springbok and Beaufort West to sell insurance to teachers, mainly because I was a teacher and I worked for Old Mutual and that was my market. You drive up to Kimberley, you go to different schools, you have to find places to sleep. You go to a garage, park my car, and in the morning there are toilets there and you can take a bit of a bird bath. There weren't guest houses, there were no places to sleep, but I became one of the top reps in the company, he says. Insurance is very close to his heart and turned out to be an integral part of the pride of Robertson as an entrepreneur. I bought a company 18 years ago that had an income of 600,000 rand, an old burial society that had a life insurance operation licensed in it, and I expanded this to a more comprehensive life insurance. In the year 2020, it was doing 1.2 billion worth of premium income. There were three people employed, now it's 60 odd people, he says. A signature investment for a man who made millions for himself and others.